Hello and welcome to Dishing Up. I'm Millie.
And I'm Mariam. We're part of Larder, a magazine where we believe who you are is what you eat.
In this series, we're going to take you on a food tour around the world.
In each episode, we'll be choosing a new country to focus on and speaking to renowned chefs from that country about their earliest memories of cooking and what makes their food so delicious.
Come with us on this journey to learn about traditional food from all corners of the globe. We'll be going to places like the Gambia, Azerbaijan, Mexico, and Malta. Leave behind everything you know about food. We're headed off the beaten track.
So grab a knife and a fork, because this is Dishing Up.
We're crossing the Atlantic Ocean today and heading to sunny Mexico. It's a land with a famous history, first with the Mayans and their famous pyramids, then the Toltec people who were said to have performed mass human sacrifices to appease the gods, and finally the Aztecs, who ruled over 5 million people in a sophisticated society.
The Spanish settled in Mexico when Hernán Cortés arrived in Tenochtitlan, what is now the historic centre of Mexico City. The Aztec ruler, Moctezuma II, was said to believe Cortés might be the serpent god Quetzalcoatl, so invited him to the city in a move that would bring about the downfall of the Aztecs to the Spanish conquistadors.
Mayans and Aztecs both influenced the cuisine that is seen in Mexico today. The Mayans favoured beans and corn, and the Aztecs introduced chocolate, honey, salt and chili peppers to the national diet.
You may not know this, but it was the Spanish who brought pork, chicken and beef to Mexico, as well as garlic, onion and rice. One of the most popular dishes of Mexico is mole, traditionally eaten as part of Cinco de Mayo celebrations, the word mole meaning sauce or concoction.
Its origin is very disputed, but the version we're going to tell you about today is mole poblano, specific to the Puebla state of Mexico. It's a thick, rich brown or red sauce made from Mexican chocolate, chilies, fruit, nuts and seeds. One recipe we found had over 90 different ingredients just to make a sauce. It can be served over chicken or beef. Traditionally, it was made with turkey, which is native to Mexico.
With us in the studio today, we have someone who is much better placed to tell you about Mexican food than we are. It's Adriana Cavita, renowned chef and owner of the restaurant Cavita in Marylebone.
Adriana took a five-year course in gastronomy at Universidad del Claustro de Sor Juana. Her first restaurant job came age 17 in Mexico City, followed by another age 19 in the restaurant of a renowned Mexican chef, Enrique Olvera. She then won an eight-month placement at a three Michelin-star restaurant, El Bulli, named the best in the world three times.
She then worked in New York in the two Michelin-starred restaurant Asker and was part of the team when it won its first Michelin star. It was 2022 when Adriana first opened up Cavita in Marylebone. She returned to Mexico for 7 months due to visa complications and used the time to write her cookbook, Cocina Mexicana, and reconnected with friends and family in Mexico. She then returned to the UK, where Cavita is a roaring success.
Adriana, welcome to Dishing Up. We're so excited to have you today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So, John, we're going to get stuck right in. Can you tell us a bit about your earliest memories of food?
Well, I will say, like, it's going to be with my grandma when I was about 6-7 years old. I mean, I don't know why I remember that, but I remember myself walking with my grandma to the markets. We used to go together to the fishmongers or, like, to the meal place where she used to make her own corn dough. So it was like just these memories of her working with the corn, making tortillas. She used to have back then her own place. She used to sell antojitos mexicanos. And I remember just helping her, like, I don't know, serving water or cleaning tables, or, like, you know, like trying to help at that age. And then I feel like Mexican food or culture in general is very tied to food in general, no? And so all my aunts, uncles, they cook something. One of my uncles do, for example, carnitas, no? That is a very traditional Mexican preparation. And, for example, another aunt cook like this pozole, no? That is very traditional preparation also from for like parties or like when all the family get together and you want to do like a big pot of food so she used to make this pozole that is amazing. So all my memories, I think, is related to family, celebrations, weddings, you know, like, and then obviously it's the food involved somehow.
Oh, that's so lovely. And who was it that first taught you to cook?
I think mainly my grandma, because I remember just grabbing the dough and make my own little tortillas. Yeah.
Is that abuela in Spanish?
Mi abuela, yeah.
Yeah, oh, cute. I did GCSE, if you can't tell.
Really pulling that Spanish out, Millie. Are your family, are they big foodies? Is food like a big part of your family? And obviously you were talking about your aunts and uncles as well.
I think it is a big part, but it's not like we came from restaurateurs or like most of my aunts really cook because they have to do something for the family.
Yeah.
Or like big celebrations, I think it's in the culture. For example, my mom hates to cook.
Oh, wow.
She cooks because sometimes I go and she wants to spoil me. So she do like... the things that I like, you know. But if not, she's going to buy something, and you know.
And then what was it like working in a restaurant for the first time? You know, you spent so much time with your grandmother and then going into a professional sort of kitchen. What was that like?
Well, the first time I think I was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because I started to study, but then I started to work also. And I remember that in the beginning it was like, well, this is nice, but at the same time I realized that it was like a lot of time, a lot of effort, like physically very tiring, you know, like. But then I had like at some point during I think it was like about after a year or so that I realized that I really like it. But in the beginning was this confrontation, I suppose, with the idea of work that amount of hours surrounded with a lot of like fire or heat, and you know, but then I love it, so I stayed. I mean, that's why I'm here. Yeah.
And then we know you obviously won that placement that at El Bulli that you said changed your life. How did it feel to win that?
Well, in the beginning, because my university was my university had these like four spaces, two for front of the house and two for the kitchen. And then we did this contest to go there, and then it was 10 of us. So I didn't even thought that I was going to win. But when they told me, I was like seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, am I going to go? Like, and also I was thinking, well, it's not just the space. I mean, I need to talk to my mom because we need to pay the flight to Spain, you know, like. And
it's really, it's not close, is it? It's like a good eight-hour flight, is it? I'm not sure.
10.
Oh, wow.
Or 11, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Long time.
Yeah.
And had you ever been away from home before?
Before that, I went to Brazil 4 months. But I knew somehow that maybe I'm going to stay longer. The university offered me 3 months, but then I love it, you know, like being in like very professional restaurant for me was like, well, basically I feel like opened my mind to really how it should be done and organized and all the possibilities, I suppose, in this industry. And then I was like asking the chefs like if I can stay for longer time. So they like me, I suppose, and they helped me to stay for 8 months. And then I stayed there until they really closed. It was 2011 when they closed down, so I managed to be there the last service, which was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that must have been really emotional.
Yeah. It was, yeah. I mean, it's difficult to describe because all the chefs that were there, like, very... well-known, you know, like all the celebration after. And also like they did actually a party for all the staff like 2 days after. Obviously everyone got very drunk.
I should hope so.
And Adriana, can you tell us a bit about what you think is the national dish of Mexico?
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
But I think many people will say that mole, the mole that... For me, mole, it's a sauce, right? And because we have so many moles in Mexico, it's hard to say, like, well, this one, no? But I feel like when you try a really nice, well-done mole, you realize, like, how all the history of Mexican food can be done in one dish, which probably that will be that one.
And you grew up in Mexico City, is that right?
Yeah.
Is the area known for anything specifically food-wise?
Well, we are basically one of the biggest cities in the world. And I feel like in Mexico City, we have the influence of all the regions in the country. But I will say that we also have, like, one of the best taquerias, you know, like street food. Yeah, I mean, it's just the variety that you can find there is huge.
Did you ever struggle, obviously, when you came here for the first time, to get those authentic ingredients? Obviously, we don't have a lot of Latin American food here.
Yeah, totally. I mean, until now, it's quite hard. Actually, we kind of get the basics. I will say, like, 4 or 5 types of chiles. Fresh ones, 1 or 2, you know? Like, it's very hard. Even, like, the coriander, it tastes different. But that's why I bring my own corn. I start to bring my own beans also.
Oh, wow.
So I have like 4 different varieties of corn at the moment, and at least 2 of beans from different regions. So I feel like this is very important, obviously, to get all the flavor, especially in the tortillas. And we do everything in the restaurant, from the corn dough to the sauces, marinations, everything. Yeah.
That's amazing. I bet that really helps with taste and everything and flavor.
Yeah, no, totally. And I love to cook over fire, so we do like all the sauces, like onion, garlic, tomatoes, grill on the grill. Obviously, meat, fish, vegetables.
And speaking of, what is one ingredient you couldn't live without?
Definitely will be corn. Because it can be, you can cook it like fresh, you know, like when it's dry, we use it for everything, really.
I mean, it's a staple, isn't it? And it's something you think about when you think of Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. And what made you open up Cavita in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Thinking about it now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think when I arrived to the UK, I actually didn't find too many Mexican restaurants.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in the beginning, I wasn't sure if I wanted to open a restaurant. And so I started to do a catering company. Mm-hmm. And I started like that. And at some point, one of my friends introduced me to one of his friends that now is my business partner. And he asked me, actually, like because he hear all my story and everything. And he asked me, well, what's next? You know, like, after what you did and where you've been and all that. And I was like, well, actually, I don't know. Yeah. That's a good point. And the restaurant is hard, you know, like, it's hard work. Like, you really had to love it, because otherwise it takes all your time, you know. So when he proposed me that, I was like, okay, let's do it, you know, like, it's just one life, I'm still young. And then that's how we found the space for the restaurant, and then we started to create all the concept, everything. Yeah.
Were you surprised that British people liked Mexican food as much? Were you like expecting that at all?
No, I feel like... because it's been a process, you know, like, I feel like many different people have been opening different concepts that help to that development, no?
Yeah.
And what I felt was, like, London was missing an authentic Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was like, well, who's going to do it? If I'm not
doing it. It's got to be you, yeah. I mean, we're actually visiting you next week, aren't we, at Cavita?
We're so excited.
We're really looking forward to it. So keep an eye out for that on the Larder website.
Which day?
Tuesday.
Nice.
And can you tell us about your favourite traditional dish from Mexico?
Favourite dish? So many. I can tell you 3.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Go on. The more the merrier, that's what we always say.
We're going to get hungry, but we'll take it.
Well, one of them is the cochinita pibil that I actually do it for lunch and brunch. And the other one will be obviously the moles, you know, like different moles. I'm doing at the moment, I'm serving that one with the beef in the dinner, and we are doing enmoladas for brunch.
What is that?
It's like everything is with corn. So it's like you take a tortilla and you fold it in half, and then you have three of them covered on sauce. Then you put sour cream, fresh cheese, you can put lettuce or mixed leaves on top, and that's it. You can add chicken or vegetables or anything.
I'm so hungry.
Honestly.
As usual.
I will say one thing, though, that I'm really excited to come because I don't eat gluten. So I love when I can get, like, corn tortillas because I think those are, like, properly authentic as well. But they don't have gluten in them. Yeah. So I'm going to eat as many as I can. I'm so excited.
My menu is about 80% gluten-free.
Oh, my gosh. Half of my family's gluten-free. I'm going to bring them all.
Yeah, bring them.
Yeah, be careful what you say. We're here every week. And what's a dish from Mexico that you wish more people knew about?
I don't know. I feel like there is like some dishes that is very hard to reproduce here. For example, barbacoa, that we take, for example, the whole lamb and we cook it underground, but we need like agave leaves for that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can reproduce that with banana leaves, but it's not going to be the same flavor. There is like pozole that sometimes I cook for Independence Day, but for people in England, they don't really understand it. Yeah. I feel like it's very hard to.
What is it?
Well, it's basically a type of corn. It's maíz pozolero. So you make like a stew with pork,
yeah,
and then you serve it with radish, lettuce, cream, and you have like a tostada on the side and you eat both together, but it's just difficult, I think.
We should tell our listeners that our producer Maria's in with us, and she showed a picture and it looks so tasty, honestly. Adriana, what are the sort of flavors that characterize Mexico?
Well, I feel like we have a lot of deep flavors but also very fresh. I mean, because I also think that Mexican food is very diverse. And what I notice sometimes people focus in Mexican food, like, or they think that it's just meat or very heavy, you know. And at the moment I'm trying to do like ceviches, you know, aguachiles, which is similar. And all of this is fresh seafood. So we cook a lot with fresh seafood also. So which is very light, acid, no, and refreshing, you know. And then we have the moles, which is very rich, heavy, you know. It's the opposite. So Mexican food flavors, I feel like, actually, I feel very related to Indian like dishes or flavors, you know.
Yeah.
Green sauces, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the spice.
And the
spice.
Absolutely, spices,
the spice.
Yeah.
And for this part of the podcast, we'd like you to imagine that you're hosting a dinner party full of all of your favourite Mexican dishes. So can you tell us what you're having for starter, main, dessert and drink?
Okay, for a starter, I will say ceviche tostada.
Fish?
Fish, yeah, fish. It can be a mix of fish and octopus.
Oh,
with
wow.
Lime juice.
What does octopus taste like?
Well, we pre-cooked in boiling water and then we cut in pieces. And then we mix with the ceviche sauce, which can be, at the moment I'm doing one with garlic, ginger, celery, and lime juice.
Also quite fresh.
Yeah.
Quite fresh flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And light for a starter, so that's good.
Yeah exactly. For main, I think for Paris I like tinga. Or like cochinita, something that you can put in the middle and share.
Okay. Can you describe it for us?
The cochinita is it's kind of pork that we cook in the oven, marinated in achiote and orange, cinnamon, and salt, olive oil. And then I take the tortillas and I serve it with pickled onions and habanero. Waka salsa, and you can order also like habanero on the side, which is more spicy.
So is that sort of like a sharing thing that you put in the middle, that everyone makes it themselves?
Yeah, exactly. I think I love that kind of stuff. So everyone make their own tacos, or like people interact, you know, like on the table, pass me this. And
oh, lovely. And dessert?
And the dessert, I love buñuelos.
I've never heard of that.
It's like... well, that have gluten, so you...
Oh, okay. I don't care anymore. No, go ahead.
But we have pandelote also, that is gluten-free.
What how do you make them?
Well, pandelote is basically just mix fresh corn with egg and sugar and vanilla. Then we put it in the oven and you take it out.
Is it sort of like a cake?
Like a cake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
corn cake.
That's cool. Corn cake.
Corn cake. And then the buñuelos, but the buñuelos is more like a flour dough, like flour mix. And then we deep fry and we serve it with ice cream. And at the moment I change it to mango sorbet.
Oh, yum.
Mango and vanilla mix and fresh mango on top.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Gorgeous. And then finally, what are you having to drink?
For drink, for sure, margaritas. I mean.
Or a mezcal. There was no hesitation there whatsoever.
Margaritas are really tasty. We just relaunched a bar downstairs also. So.
Oh, amazing.
I think lunchtime might be a little bit early for us to visit.
Millie's like, I'm going straight home after. Well, Adriana, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been so interesting to learn more about Mexican culture and cuisine. Where can people find you?
First of all, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you.
And the restaurant is in 60 Wickmore Street, close to Bourne Street. If you know John Bell Pharmacy, it's on the side.
And what's next for you? Have you got any fun projects coming up?
Well, we actually... are trying to find a new place or spot to open a new concept restaurant, maybe. So we will see.
Amazing.
Maybe here, maybe in another country.
Don't leave us.
So we'll get tickets.
Yeah. And if you had to describe Mexican cuisine in one word, what word would it be?
Oh, my God. Community.
I love that.
Lovely.
Well, thank you so much, Adriana.
No, and thank
you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've been your hosts, Millie and Mariam.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Dishing Up.
Dishing Up is produced by Mariam Aziz, Millie Jackson and Hannah Rashbass, with technical support from Maria Martinez Ugartechea.
Special thanks to Biscuit Town for our fabulous jingle. Please join us again for another tasty episode on Dishing Up.
Until then, keep cooking.
And remember, who you are is what you eat.
Bye.